Welcome to episode 40 of Booty and Bossy Eat, Drink, Knit. It's been very gloomy, rainy, snowy in the Pacific Northwest and snowy in ye olde Colonial Massachusetts.
Snowy, and now it's rainy, and the snow is functioning as a giant sponge for the rain, and then it's going to freeze. So, yay.
Icy.
So then it'll be icy.
We have the perfect recipe to cheer you up, warm you up on these horrible last winter. In ye olde Colonial Massachusetts, Bossy's husband said that when the groundhog comes out and says there's 6 more weeks of winter, that's actually on a good year.
Yes,
It's 6 more
only
weeks.
6 weeks.
Wow. This recipe is from our last episode, episode 39, when we interviewed Kim Davis of Slaycation, and she gave us the recipe for curry chicken. It's a West Indian style. So do you want to give us the details on the recipe?
Yeah, Booty and I wanted to make it because, well, we like making things, especially new things. And if you remember, Kim said, I'm really not that much of a cook. But here's the thing about people who are not into cooking that much. When they have one really good recipe, it's probably a really good recipe because it's kind of the only thing they make. So, which is sort of what she told us.
Yeah.
And she was right. This is a really good recipe. Basically, what you do, it's the Jamaican Trinidadian curry. So it's going to be a little different if you're used to Indian Madras curries. But basically, you take 3 tablespoons of vegetable oil. I used olive oil. You cut up chicken into bite-sized pieces. She uses chicken thighs. So I used boneless, skinless chicken thighs. I probably cut up maybe about 6 of them. You saute that for until the chicken gets brown, and then you add a large onion or two, diced, and 6 cloves of garlic, a lot of garlic. Yeah. And you put that in and cook those until they get a little softened. And then you stir in 1/4 of a cup of Jamaican curry powder. Booty and I ordered from Amazon, Blue Mountain Country Jamaican curry powder. We got the hot kind. Believe it or not, they did not have Jamaican curry powder at the Stop and Shop in Ye Olde Sturbridge Village. So we ordered it online. That was really good. And then in the original recipe, she has you put in 4 large potatoes peeled and cubed and 2 tablespoons of salt. And so you stir in the potatoes and the salt and the curry powder, and you add water to cover the chicken and potatoes about halfway. And then you cover and simmer it on low heat for 30 to 40 minutes or until the chicken and the potatoes are tender. And actually, I put it, I don't know, how long did you cook it for?
I cooked it for, about 30 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The thing I liked about it, first of all, it's one pot, which, as we know, that's a Booty and Bossy criteria. It makes a lot. And I think it's nicely flexible. That was the recipe that she gave us. But when she was talking to us about it, she said that she often substitutes the potatoes for cauliflower and chickpeas. So I actually did that. That was really good. The cauliflower disappeared a little bit for me. I probably didn't need to cook it as long as I did, but it made this nice thick stew. I also added a couple of carrots. I think it would be good if you threw some peas in at the end, maybe for a little bit of color. But it seems like a pretty flexible recipe with whatever you have on hand. The only other thing I did a little bit differently was instead of water, I used a box of chicken stock. I probably put too much chicken stock in because I had one box, and you know how I don't like to have 1 cup of chicken stock sitting in the refrigerator. So every recipe, it gets a whole box of chicken stock. Every recipe, it gets a whole onion, not a half an onion. You know what? That's what we're doing. So,
Yeah, I feel the same way about the chicken stock, and it did spill over a bit. Also, I was making this for my kids for Valentine's Day. I know it was really nice.
very nice of you to do
It
that.
was very nice of me, and they appreciated it a lot. So for my daughter, I needed to make it vegetarian. So I left out the chicken, and of course, and I used water for hers because that was to make it vegetarian. Instead of the chicken, I sauteed some tofu. And what I did was I used the curry powder on the tofu. So that gave it a nice flavor. The sauteed tofu with the curry powder is really good. Yeah, I would totally just make that if
Yeah.
it as a quick, easy midweek thing. So I cooked the tofu separately. I sauteed the cauliflower as well. So I sauteed the cauliflower and then I added the chickpeas. And my daughter said she would like the potatoes. She likes potatoes. So I did the potatoes in there too and just cooked the whole thing. And then they added the tofu
Yeah.
when they ate it. So you wouldn't want to like cook your tofu with everything else because then it would just disintegrate. And then of course my son also wanted the potatoes. So that was a lot in my saute pan with the cauliflower, the potatoes, the chickpeas, the chicken, and the one thing. It was a big pan, but it still overflowed a lot. So it was really, really good. Highly recommend.
And I just made it yesterday, but it seems like it keeps very well. The chicken was really nice and tender and flavorful, which was really good. I think you could put it with some rice, especially if you didn't do the potatoes, or I think big wide egg noodles would be good. We had it with toasted bread because my husband and I do this all the time where we both go out and buy a nice loaf of bread, and then we got a lot of bread. Ah. So everything comes with bread. So I just kind of put it on top of some toasted bread there, and that was very yummy. I think you could also, well, if you, the vegetarian, the tofu, but you could also substitute pork or beef. I think either of those would be good. And that's what I really like about it. It's kind of whatever is on hand, it seems like. I think the key ingredient is that Blue Mountain Country Jamaican curry powder.
We are not getting any money from Blue Mountain Country, but it comes in a big container. You do use a quarter of a cup of it, so you're using a fair amount. And I think you need that. It's not a super spicy one.
Well, and I know she said that she added hot pepper sauce at the end. I, by using the hot curry powder, and I got like a two pack, one was regular and one was hot. I used the hot. It had plenty of heat for me without adding the an additional sort of hot sauce or anything like that. You could also put some sour cream or yogurt on it
I was thinking that
too.
too. Yeah,
Yeah.
yeah. Serve it with a little cilantro as a crunch.
That would be good. And
Yeah.
the other thing I like about it, because you know how I like recipes that are timed well. So basically, while you are browning that chicken, you can pretty much prep all the veg, the
Right.
onions, the garlic, the cauliflower, and have that ready. So it probably takes about an hour start to finish, but only a half an hour is really active cooking time, which to me, that's a doable weekday meal. Or you can make a big batch on the weekend and then eat it all week. At least some people will, not other.
Yeah, exactly.
Thank you, Kim, for that really great recipe because we're definitely going to make it again and highly recommend it. Booty, do you want to say anything else about it?
Well, the other thing I was going to say, I think will be really good. Sweet potatoes,
Mmm.
and it's serving it on couscous would be right.
Yes, that could
So,
be really good too.
yes, all of
If
those
you
things.
wanted a little bit of sweet too, you could add some raisins in there and that could be good.
Yeah, currants. Yeah. Thank you, Kim. Moving right along. Many of you may have heard of that Wallace and Gromit came out with a new movie, or should I say, Nick Park came out with a new movie called Vengeance Most Foul, with foul being the bird.
The penguin.
Yes. So it
Yes.
features the return of the penguin.
Feathers McGraw.
Feathers McGraw comes back. The delightful thing is that they've got these robot gnomes.
Happy Nifty Norbot. I'd like to snip the hedge.
The songs are so great in it. And one of the things is that Gromit is sitting there knitting a sock for Wallace. It's got a W on it.
Lovely.
Slowly, as we are. And the Norbot makes him a onesie, a Wallace onesie, in 30 seconds.
Not even 30 seconds. Yeah.
So frustrating. And Gromit sticks his knitting needles in his yarn ball sack. I think we've all been there with that. In fact, it's funny. I am working on a sweater that I was given the pattern a week in advance of the official release. Many people are much further along than I am after.
Well, welcome to my world, Booty, because you're always further along when we do our quote unquote knit alongs. It's like you are Norbot. I am Gromit sitting there with my two needles, and you're already finished with the Wallace onesie because that's my world.
Well, I think sometimes it depends on, I have more time to knit than you do. I'm not a particularly fast knitter, especially compared to these other ladies that are knitting way faster than I am. Or maybe they were spending more time doing it. But that's, I think, well, the movie was great just for the knitting references and all the Wallace and Gromit shenanigans. It is something to think about. Our project lists are growing and growing, and we're feeling kind of spread out. And that's the other thing is that I might have 10 projects going. I'm not exclusively knitting on that one thing. So they probably are only knitting.
I thought actually that was interesting when we were talking with Kim that you guys usually have, three or four projects on the needles. And I realized I didn't know this was a thing. I am more of a monogamous knitter. I work on one thing at a time. I tend to be that way about books too. I don't like to read five books at the same time. I like to read one book. I like to be working on one project. What I love about Wallace and Gromit, though, first of all, is just the whole thing is premised on this irony of Wallace being this great inventor, and yet his story is conveyed through stop animation and claymation.
Well, I think that is true. He's not a techie, he's an inventor.
Yes, it's always got these wonderful sort of contemporary references. Like at one point, he says, "Tech, that's the thing, so long as it knows who's the boss of it, of course."
Isn't that the truth with AI?
There is actually a reference later on to in the movie. I don't know if you saw this, where he says, "Well, AI and all that."
Wait, yes. And once again, we have the name, the news reporter on your doorstep.
Great. I think her voice, Anya Doorstep's voice, is the voice of Diane Morgan, who is the woman who plays Philomena Kunk on Kunk on Life. Have you seen that next
Oh, yeah.
special? I think that's her.
Yes, it is her. Yes.
Yes. And I love that series. I mean, it's so British, and I just love that it's got this, it's centered on this profound contradiction of the inventor in claymation. So it's got all of these gizmos that are supposed to make life easier, but in this 1950s aesthetic, everybody still has wallpaper and they still have a teapot, they don't use it, and we probably don't want to spoil it there. And then there's the whole idea that Gromit, the dog, he shows a deeper understanding of what's at stake than any of the human characters. He's the most humane of all of the characters, always. And I just love that a dog is the center of humanity in each one of the stories.
So he originally invents the gnome to help Gromit in the garden. And of course, what Wallace doesn't appreciate is that Gromit is enjoying his time in the garden. And the gnome turns everything, all the bushes and everything, into these topiaries that are something you would see at Longwood Gardens.
They are neat and tidy.
Yes, neat and tidy, instead of the more natural British garden with overflowing
They're
flower
kind
beds.
of like the Versailles of those very carefully orchestrated topiaries and things like that, instead of the sort of overflowing British garden. And that's the thing, is that Gromit sort of comes to stand for the enjoyment that you get from being out in the garden. He comes out and he's got his little hat, and he's gonna plant this little tree, and it's sort of this like Zen moment. And then Norbot comes and just runs ripshod over everything, chops off the tree he has just planted, you know, in the same way that Gromit is knitting his
Right.
sock
The
slowly.
slow.
And enjoying the zen of that experience, and Norbot whips out this Wallace onesie in 10 seconds. And
Exactly. Well, we also have to give a shout out to the books we have. And I think that this was in a previous one, A Room of One's Own
yes.
by Virginia Woolf. And then we had Paradise Lost by John Stilton.
Oh, I couldn't even see that. I thought it was Milton. Okay.
It's yeah, the paradise is the cheese.
Because it's all about the cheese.
Yeah.
Yes. Or the lost cheese. What was your favorite moment, would you say?
Of course, the Wallace onesie, that had to be a good one, but I just loved, loved, loved Gromit's robe. I don't know what it is about this robe. Okay, but in terms of, so I loved that, I guess, as my favorite costume. I always love when they have the morning breakfast where he goes through the, what do you call
Oh,
that?
yes, the getting dressed and bathing, and yeah, but it's all
Yeah.
automated, so he just has to lie there and be.
Right. He's like the Rube Goldberg, the machine, and
Oh, okay,
he's the marble that goes through
yes.
the
Yeah.
yeah. And of course, when it goes wrong, then what was your favorite part?
I don't want to spoil it too much, but when Feathers McGraw takes over the gnomes and he hacks in to Wallace's computer and he changes the setting on the gnome from, and these are the settings, and I just think this should be a t-shirt, or we ought to knit this or something. But these are the options that Wallace has programmed in. And so initially he puts Norbert at good. The next level is pleasant. After that, it's unassuming. Then it's dull, boorish, mildly annoying, bit selfish, grumpy. I think we know some people whose settings are grumpy all the time. Mean-spirited, really nasty, and evil. And of course,
Like, why are you having these sets them all to evil?
and I like those degrees, you know, because we all know, like, I feel like this is a window now that we can assess where people are on the Norbert scale here, that somehow in the middle of the night the dial got set to grumpy. Yeah, a bit selfish.
Selfish.
I don't know, dull and boorish. Well, I can think of some people. Mean-spirited, but I just feel like this is such a nice spectrum of human behavior that I like the idea of it being like a dial that you can set. And of course, Feathers McGraw picks evil.
But I love that Feathers McGraw doesn't actually speak.
Yes.
And he's so simple, just the beak and the eyes, but that conveys it perfectly.
Well, and when he disguises himself, which he disguises himself as a chicken, and he wears this sort of red,
Rubber glove.
it's a rubber glove, but it's supposed to look like a chicken crop. By the way, you can knit a hat that's a Feather McGraw's hat. I found that online. He also, though, disguises himself at one point as a nun.
Yeah, that was good too. The
Yeah, and this is the other thing that I love, that's kind of that contradiction, that Wallace makes Norbot to help Gromit in the garden. Gromit also never speaks, but
penguin.
Norbot is voice activated.
That's right.
It's another one of those moments of Wallace's unbelievable, like, on the one hand, incredible interest in making life better. He says at one point, if you've got a problem, Norbot is your answer. He's the answer. But he has this altruistic idea behind his inventing, but he's also just completely clueless about the actual human condition and what people enjoy.
Well, and what your customer wants.
Yeah.
Highly recommend. It's up for an Academy Award.
Oh, is it already? Okay.
Yes, maybe by the time this airs, we will know.
You know what else I loved is when the evil gnome bots are trying to put Wallace to sleep and they give him snoozy chalk.
Oh, yes.
I need some snoozy chalk.
Yeah, there's so many moments that you think, oh, if only that actually would work,
Yeah.
it would be great. Well, and there is, we discovered that there is a, I'm sure there's a number of knitting patterns. Recently, MDK, they posted about a sweater that was, it's a sweater vest. The link for it, somebody knit. It's the sort of Wallace green. And then it has the grommet on it. And the person who knit it did a little wedge of cheese on the back. So.
And I didn't know that in 2013 there was an initiative, I think it was called Wallace and Gromit's Grand Appeal, where they made a bunch of, did you hear about this? They made a bunch of supersized grommets and sent them out to people to decorate. And then they auctioned them off for the Bristol Children's Hospital. And I think originally they were hoping to maybe raise $1 million. They ended up w raising way more than that. And do you know whose grommet got the most money? It was Gromit Lightyear. So what they did was they sent one of these plain grommets to Pixar. And the artists at Pixar turned Gromit into a Buzz Lightyear and then mailed it back through the Panama Canal. And it sold for 65,000 pounds. Yeah. So I thought that was a great moment of collaboration between British and the American animators. My only other thing that I loved was when Anya Doorstep is opening the door and everybody's really mad because the evil gnome bots have stolen a bunch of things. The woman calls Wallace a nasty, crooked, thieving little toe rag.
And he says, but you said I was smart thinking. What happened to smart thinking?
How do I become an evil inventor or a nasty, crooked, thieving little toe rag?
Is a toe rag.
Oh, I did. I looked that up. It was the rags that, well, obviously it's an insult. When beggars would tie rags around their feet because they couldn't afford shoes, that was a toe rag. And so when you, it, I mean, it's just sort of a despicable, low life person, but it started as a class insult too. So,
Very interesting.
You thieving little toe rag.
So we will put a picture of the light year and the grommet pullover in the show notes. It turns out the grommet pullover is actually a sweater, and the one I saw, they had made it into a vest, but
Well, a vest is more in keeping with what Wallace wears. So
yes.
that makes good sense to me. Well, what are you knitting these days, Booty?
I'm working on slowly my Kleina cardigan. This is a pattern from Marie Green, and you hold, I think they're about lace weight, two strands of lace weight together in two different colors. So you're working with four strands. And this is her longer knit along where you learn a lot of techniques, and of course one of the techniques is how to deal with four strands of yarn at the same time. And it's not as bad as you think. The yarn came in a cone, so first you wind your yarn into cakes and then you work from the center. Sometimes with like mohair, you want to work from the outside because otherwise it will become a tangled mess.
Oh, I
So,
didn't know that. Oh, that's a
yes.
helpful tip. Okay.
Yeah. So, this one you work from the inside and you basically put the two cakes of one color in a bowl or a little box and the two cakes of the other one in another bowl or box. You are not ever working with both colors at the same time.
Oh,
You're
okay.
slipping stitches. So it's mosaic knitting. So that makes it a lot less complicated. And the pattern is very fun. It's Swiss dot, I think it's called, or Swiss. Well, it winds up looking kind of like a Swiss flag.
Oh.
So, and it just repeats over and over. So it's fun. But my Kleina cardigan, Kleina in German means small. That was our maiden name.
Yep.
And mine is very small right now. It's maybe 10 inches.
Maybe you could knit a doll of yourself, and then you could put the cardigan on the doll of yourself. Yeah.
Yeah. So, what are you wearing?
Well, I'm like Grommet, maybe this is why I like him so much. I'm still working on my Eurus sweater, although I am almost finished with the second sleeve. So now I'm going to have to do the ribbing and the neckline. But if your Kleina cardigan is small, I'm making up for that with the supersize Eurus sweater that's about a yard wide, and no wonder it took me a long time. And it's only like, maybe 18 inches long. So I think it could fit, I don't know, somebody who's very short and wide. Yeah.
But you haven't added the ribbing yet, so
I
that's
haven't,
good.
yeah, I have a feeling there's going to be a lot of ribbing.
Yeah.
It's not machine washable wool, so I'm kind of hoping that maybe I can wash it and block it, and it'll maybe be able to get a little bit longer. But I'm excited to finish that because, as I have announced to the world, I'm a monogamous knitter and I'm desperate for some color. And I did go to Webb's last week and get some things that I'm going to try to do a little bit of color work, not going crazy, some blue and gray. Want to have too much color. Need a neutral in there somehow.
Well, I do think sometimes colors are really fun to work with and then not so fun to wear. Or at least I find myself when it comes to wearing things. Although I will say I had a triumph the other day. Because for our Valentine's dinner, my husband and I went out, which is very fun, to a fancy restaurant. And I wore my rainbow poncho that I made for Rhinebeck a couple of years ago. And when I'll put a picture of it. And when I was in the elevator, a woman said, "That is amazing. You didn't knit that, did you?" And I said, "Why, yes, I did."
And did you say, did my husband pay you to say that as was that my special Valentine's Day present? Was that
Right. I was thrilled. And she said, "That is some advanced work."
That what well I remember when you wore that at Rhinebeck, a lot of people stopped you and commented on it because I mean I think anytime you see something, particularly at Rhinebeck, that you haven't seen before, because everybody's all wearing them, Andrea Mowry or whatever it is, it's remarked upon. So I think that was a triumph. I have to say, for our Valentine's Day, we did not go out, and I went to BJ's. And I bought a dog toy
As the big Valentine's.
as the big Valentine's. So,
Well, I think I was kind of surprised that my husband wanted to go out, and it was fun. I really enjoyed it. But there does come a point where I'm all about the Galentine's. I really love doing sending Valentine's to my gal pals.
Oh, no, and you sent me some wonderful Valentine's things. Yes, I love
So
those.
this, and you did for me.
Yeah.
So, yes, I especially loved. I will post a picture of Bossy's homemade Valentine, which was a heart with knitting needles instead of arrows.
Yes, I know that took me like 4 seconds. Yeah, because I had red paper and that was pretty much it. So. But I was thinking fondly of the days when I used to make my son write out all of his Valentines. And then he'd get to school and everybody had just bought Valentines and he'd have these handwritten ones and eat. And I'd always be like, well, each one has to be different. So he would come up with these things. I remember one year we made a little one that was like a rocket. And so all of the little Valentines have space themes. So one of them said, "Meet me on planet love," and "You are a star," and "You're in my orbit."
You can plan it that
Were, I thought they were so great. So I am still a big, definitely a big defender of the homemade Valentine.
love you. It is the best. Yes.
Well, and my husband and I were both, we gave the dog the Valentine's Day sheep. And we both got such a kick out of how excited he was by this Valentine baby, you know, and he trotted all around the house with it and made us chase him and everything. And I do think there's a sort of purity in that, that the most joy you get is by making somebody else happy, even the dog.
Well, yeah, exactly. That's why we have our pets.
Yeah.
Yeah, bring the joy.
Bring the joy. So, well, Booty, I think we have a couple of joyous things here. We definitely have that great recipe that Kim Davis gave us for Jamaican chicken curry. Make it. I think it's going to end up on your regular rotation because it's easy and delicious and makes a lot. And watch the new Wallace and Gromit. It's an hour of your time that will definitely bring you joy. And I think it's time to say, whatever you do, don't knit
And
with
my
my sister.
sister.
So, Booty, do you have a little bit of a special announcement that you would like to make?
Yes, in fact, when we were interviewing Kim Davis in episode 39 of our podcast, Booty and Bossy, Eat, Drink, and Knit, after we were interviewing her, we got to talking and we thought it would be fun to have a Zoom with Kim Davis. So we set it up for April 4th at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, 4 p.m. Pacific Time. And the way to sign up for it is to subscribe to our newsletter.
Yes.
We will be sending out a registration form. So it's going to be super fun because Kim is super fun and we're super fun.
We do say so ourselves.
We do say so ourselves. And we might get mom to show up.
Hi, Mom.
And we thought we could have some fun knitting prizes.
Yes, prizes. We don't know what they're going to be, but they're going to be really great.
Yes, and might we suggest that you get a glass of wine or make one of our cocktails? We have several cocktails on the website. And join us for a fun knit night or crochet or whatever you want to do.
We enjoyed our conversation with Kim so much. And so we thought this was a great way for our listeners of Bootie and Bossie Eat, Drink, Knit, as well as crafting listeners of Slaycation, to get together and enjoy a glass of wine, maybe a snack, and each other's company. So please sign up for our newsletter, and then we will send a separate link with a form that you can register.
And the way to sign up for the newsletter, by the way, it's free.
Oh, yeah. Mom, the newsletter is free.
It's
Yeah.
free. Is to go to our website, bootyandbossy.com, and you'll see a form there to subscribe.
So check that out. And we hope that we will, quote unquote, see you there on the Zoom on April 4th, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 4 p.m. Western Time, 5 or 6 Middle Earth Time, wherever you are. Yeah, hope you can join us.